to the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and professional success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner for vets. Earlier this month, the Big Beautiful Bill passed, and it was signed into law by the president on July 4th. This is the first of a series of episodes about the new changes in the bill. So this pod will focus on student loan changes for borrowers who have already graduated, and I'll also answer some of the most common questions I am seeing on the Debt Free Vets Facebook group as well. If you are a student or you want to hear more about how the bill will affect current and future students, stay tuned for the next episode where I'll focus on that. So I spent hours over the holiday weekend reading the full text of the student loan portion of the bill so you guys don't have to. For borrowers who have already graduated, here's what you need to know. So if you are on IBR, so the income-based repayment plan, the new or old version, you don't need to do anything. So no action is needed. The final version of the bill did preserve access to new IBR, which was in question at one point. The only change to IBR that I saw is that it looks like there's no longer a requirement to meet the partial financial hardship rule, which means some vets who have a lower debt-to-income ratio may be able to qualify for IBR if they weren't able to before. So that's a good thing. If you are on pay, so the pay-as-you-earn plan, you'll be transitioned out of pay onto IBR at some point between July 2026 and 2028. I'm not sure yet if the timing's going to be based on your recertification date or if the change will just be rolled out by the loan servicers over time. So hopefully we'll hear more clarity on that in the coming months. So if you're eligible for the new version of IBR, which is open to people who started borrowing loans after July 1st, 2014, you would have the same payment and the same 20-year timeline as you did on pay. If you had a loan balance before July 1st, 2014, you would have access to the old version of IBR, which is 15% of discretionary income rather than 10%. So some vets currently on pay will have a higher payment on IBR, and it would be something like 1.5 times what your payment would have been on pay. One way to think of it is it's like if taxes went up by 5%, because it would be instead of 10%, it would be 15%. But since a lot of vets haven't had to recertify their income since 2019 or somewhere around there, and a lot of vets saw substantial income increases during COVID, they may need to make some budget adjustments once they recertify and have a higher payment based on their current income. And so that was the case before, and for some folks, it's going to be even more the case now. If you are on the save forbearance, you have the same options you've had for the past several months as the save court actions work their way through the courts. So you can stay on save and stay in forbearance until a final decision is made about save, or you can go ahead and switch to IBR or pay right now if you want to resume making progress toward forgiveness. And so if you wanted to do that, you would go to studentaid.gov/IDR in order to switch plans. If you switch plans now, you'll be required to recertify your income now. So that is something to keep in mind. If anyone out there has a parent who borrowed Parent Plus loans and your parent was planning to get their loans forgiven, they will have until June 30th, 2026 to consolidate their loans in order to have access to an income-driven repayment plan. Again, that deadline is only for Parent Plus loans. Parent Plus loans are loans parents borrow for their child's undergrad, so this is not relevant to most vets, but it's something that's important to be aware of for those of you who have parents who may be affected. So what's up with this new student loan repayment plan that's out there? So there's a new plan called RAP, which stands for Repayment Assistance Plan. It's a 30-year plan. It's based on 10% of income. So not 10% of discretionary income, which has a poverty line deduction that helps to lower payments on plans like IBR. It does look like, based on my reading of the bill, it does look like there is an interest subsidy on the WRAP plan that is similar to what was on the SAVE plan, along with a principal subsidy of $50 applied whenever the payment is like $50 or more, but doesn't touch the principal by $50 or more, something like that. And there's also a $50 per month savings for each dependent that you claim on your tax return. That's something else that is a feature of the WRAP plan, but it's a 30-year plan. So we're talking about a 30-year plan versus a 20 or 25-year plan on IBR. So existing borrowers will likely want to look at those plans that are a time frame that is less, right? Because it's likely that for most vets, they're going to be paying less if they are paying for less years. So some borrowers might have a lower payment on WRAP depending on the situation, but the trade-off would be an additional 5 to 10 years in repayment before you would qualify for student loan forgiveness, which would make WRAP more expensive for a lot of vets and really probably most vets. They will, on WRAP, they will allow you to exclude your spouse's income from the payment calculation if you file your taxes married filing separately. So that's the case with IBR, and that is the case with the WRAP plan as well. So with WRAP, this is something that the Senate and the House went back and forth on this, but the final version of the bill does preserve that ability to exclude spouse's income with married filing separately. In general, filing taxes, married filing separately has helped a ton of veterinarians save money on their student loans. It doesn't make sense for everyone, but it makes sense for a lot of couples, especially if only one person in the couple has student loans. I have seen real life cases of vets where they're projected to save somewhere between $100,000 and even up to $250,000 over the life of the loan. So this is something that if you're married and you haven't explored this, it can be hugely important because it could save you a ton of money. Payments on WRAP can apply toward public service loan forgiveness. So that is a common question that I've been getting. And keep in mind that with all of these changes, it's possible the next administration could come in and make changes to student loan plans in the future. So now they have set a precedent that we can go in and just change the statute compared to previously where some of those plans that were in the statute, we thought, okay, IBR, for example, we thought it's going to be hard to change that. But now moving forward for future students, it's not going to be an option unless they revert back to the old rules. Another thing that is interesting is if an existing borrower in any ICR plan, so that is SAVE or PAY or income contingent repayment, any of those plans, if you fail to select a plan by July 1st, 2028, they are saying that they're going to automatically enroll you in the WRAP plan, which would be a 30-year plan. So if IBR would be a more beneficial plan for you, like it would be for a lot of vets due to that shorter timeline to forgiveness, you'll want to make sure you switch plans well before that July 1st, 2028 date. And like I said, it's possible that you would have to just naturally switch plans before that date anyway. For example, if you're on pay and you go to recertify your income and you can't select the pay plan anymore, then you would likely switch to IBR at that time. I don't know yet if that's the way that it's going to work, but that may be the way that it works. It was not clear from my reading whether a borrower who is eligible for IBR would be stuck on the WRAP plan forever if they end up on it. There was some discussion about this from the student loan planner team based on a version of the bill saying, okay, if you get on WRAP, you can't switch off of it. All I can say is that I didn't see that in the final version of the bill, but I'm not 100% sure on that. It would be, of course, better if folks who are eligible for IBR could switch back to it if they ended up on WRAP somehow. That is something that we'll just have to see if we can get more clarity on moving forward. If you consolidate your loans, So this is a federal consolidation. If you consolidate your loans after July 1st, 2026, you would only be able to choose wrap or the standard plan. So that is something new and something to consider. We probably won't be recommending consolidations as often moving forward as we did a year or two ago. They do also say that they're going to start doing those automatic recertifications where when you fill out an income-driven repayment application, they now ask you, hey, do you want to link with the IRS? And they were supposed to start doing recertifications using that information directly from the IRS. So they say in the bill that they're going to start doing that. They do also say that a borrower can always opt out of that IRS link. So it's not a change there, but it's just interesting that they include that and that they say that they are planning to do those automatic recertifications moving forward. The bill also includes an additional $1 billion for student loan servicing. Hopefully the servicers will put some of that money to use, hiring more people to answer the phones, to reduce some of the long wait times that I've been hearing lately with calling some of the loan servicers. There's a bright spot in the bill where they talk about the employer student loan benefits. We did have a previous episode where we talked about that the employer student loan benefit was set to expire at the end of 2025. The Big Beautiful Bill actually continues the employer student loan benefit indefinitely. Currently, that is $5,250 per year up to that amount that your employer could contribute to your student loans and have it be tax-free. This bill actually continues that with annual cost of living increases. That is something that is interesting and something that we may see offered more commonly moving forward now that it is a longer term thing. So stay tuned for the next episode where I will break down how the bill affects current and future students. Student loan planning is included with financial planning at All That Financial. So if you're interested in chatting with me about what it's like to work with me on financial planning, I'd love to have a conversation with you. My mission is to help you take control of your finances and live the life you envision. My intro call link is in the show notes, or feel free to send me an email, meredith@allthatfinancial.com. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered individualized financial advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, it should not be considered a recommendation or endorsement to buy or sell the investment. All investments involve risk. Past performance does not guarantee future results. You are encouraged to seek the advice of a financial professional before implementing any investment strategies discussed. Yay, compliance.